गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन शोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं स्तं सुजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नमों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि श्री गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हियर वी आर स्टार्टिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर I can't see it from here. 5, 15 and number 9, right? 19. I read the verse, then I forgot the... Mandar kundak kura botpala champakarna पुन्नाग नाग बकुलांबुज पारिजाताः गंधे अर्चिते तुलसिकाभरणेन तस्या यस्मिंस्तपौ सुमनसो बहुमानयन्ति Repeat. Mandara kunda kurabotpala champakarna. Punnaga naga bakulambuja parijata. गंधेर्चिते तुलसी का भरणेन तस्या Yashminstapa sumanaso bahumana yanti. Mandara kunda kurabot pala champakarna. Punaga naga vapulam pada parijata. Randher chite tu lasika bharanena tasya. Svinstapasu manaso bahumana yanti. Andara kunda kurabotpala champakarna. Punaga naga bakulambuja parijata. Gandhe archite tulasika bharane na tasya. Yasminstapasu manaso bahumana yanti.
Okay, please. No, we should. So sweet.
Dara kunda kurabotpala champakarna. Punaga naga bakulam buja parijata. Gandhe rachite tulasika bharane na tasya. Yasminstapasu manaso bahumana yanti. Kundakurabotpala champakarna. Punara kundakurabotpala champakarna. Punaga bakulambuja parijata. Naga naga bakulambuja parijata. Te tulasika bharane na tasya. Devchite tulasika bharane na tasya. Yasmin satyarthis vanaso bahumana yanti.
Should we do the translation together? Scroll down, bro.
Mandara,
which is Mandara. Kunda, which is Kunda. These are different kinds of flowers. Kuraba, which is Kuraba. Utpala, which is Utpala, which is lotus. Champaka, which is Champaka. Arna flower. Punaga. Punaga. Naga. Naga Keshara. Bakula, which is Bakula. Ambuja. Lily. Parijataha. Parijata. Gandhe. Fragrance. Archite. Being worshipped. Tulasika. Tulasi. Abharanena. With a garland. Tasyaha. Of her. Yasmin. In which Vaikuntha. Tapaha. Austerity. Sumanasaha. Good minded Vaikuntha minded. Bahu. Very much.
Manayanti. Glorify. Translation. Although flowering plants like the Mandara, Kunda, Kurabaka, Utpala, Champaka, Arna, Punnaga, Nagakeshara, Bakula, Lily, and Parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi, for Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. Purport. The importance of Tulasi leaves is clearly mentioned here. Tulasi plants and their leaves are very important in devotional service. Devotees are recommended to water the Tulasi tree every day and collect the leaves to worship the Lord. One time, an atheistic Swami remarked, "What is the use of watering Tulasi plant? It is better to water eggplant." So funny. By watering the eggplant, one can get some fruits. What is the use of watering the Tulasi? These foolish creatures, unacquainted with devotional service, sometimes play havoc with the education of people in general. The most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there. This is true even among the flowers, which are all conscious of the greatness of Tulasi. In the Vaikuntha world, entered by the four Kumaras, even the birds and flowers are conscious of service to the Lord. Now, since today is Worship Wednesday, I'm going to try and simplify it a little bit. Okay? But we will get to the point this purport is explaining. You ready for this? Can I get a Hari Bol? A little more enthusiastic. Thank you. Now tell me one thing. In this room, do you see any other animals other than humans? Look around you. Are those animals behaving normally? No. These animals are dancing. Have you ever seen elephants and monkeys and tigers dancing together? Ever? If you saw something like that, what would happen? How would you react? Yes. Oh my God. Yes, somebody, yes. You would all say, "Oh my God," and you would say, you record it. You whip up your cell phone and at least take a video, right? Because if you, yes, at the back, and then you. Yes, go for it. You would say, "Ooh la la." Okay. Yes. Huh? I can't hear you. Be louder. Is this a dream? Yes. Huh? You said how? You said how? That's a very good question. How? This is insane. Insane, correct? But you see, that is the difference between the material and the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the rules that apply to the material world doesn't apply. People, plants, animals all start behaving differently. Did you know that? They all start behaving differently. I'll give you one example. How many of you ever tried to race with a friend and see who won? Do you know what Krishna does in the afternoons when he goes out with his cows and his friends? Sometimes he sits in one place and two of his friends race to reach Krishna. Now tell me one thing. When you are racing with your friend, do you want your friend to lose or win? See, this is that is the material world. You know what the Bhagavatam says? Bhagavatam says when two friends are running to see who reaches Krishna first, the friend who is winning
tells the friend who is losing, why can't you run faster? Why can't you reach Krishna first? This is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. In the material world, you are competing because you want to win. Correct? In the spiritual world, there's so much more fun to lose to Krishna. Now imagine, how many of you have a little brother or a sister? Have you ever played, I don't know what you call this in English, but in Hindi and Bangla we call it panja, this arm wrestling. Have you done that? Now imagine if your little brother or sister is actually weaker than you, but just for fun you lose. Isn't that cute? No? Yes, somebody says yes, some others say no. Yes? See, when you want to win, win, win so that others lose, that is the material world. When you only want to win and you don't care how others feel, that is the material world. But sometimes when you say that, hey, we are having fun, it doesn't hurt to lose because the other person is going to have more fun, that is like the spiritual world. Am I clear so far?
Yes.
Am I? Okay. Now, let's leave aside these animals on the wall. Krishna has cows, Mahaprabhu has tigers and elephants. Let's think about the living creatures in this room. Are there germs going around you that you cannot see? Okay. Are there ants in this room? There must be. Do you think there might be bugs in this garland? I'm wearing it, I'm sorry. Now think about it. Are you different from all of the other living beings that you see around you? The trees, the... Yes, you are. In one way you're not different, but there's something different about you, isn't it? Being human makes you different, correct? Similarly, Tulasi is also a plant, but being Tulasi makes it different. Just like humans are special among all kinds of animals, in a way, we are animals. We are two-legged animals. Correct? Aren't you? Oh my God. You're surprised. Did you know we are, in terms of our genes, we are actually very close to orangutans and gorillas and chimpanzees. Right? But if I do woo-hoo here, see, you're laughing at me. I can't behave like a monkey, can I? No. Because I'm supposed to behave like a? Correct. Because humans are a little different and a little special. Can we say special? No? Yes? How many of you think humans are a little different and special? That's so funny. Okay, the younger ones think humans are special, the older ones are like, we are just like monkeys. See, the others are laughing at you. How many of you think we are just like monkeys? Jai Hanuman! How many of you love to jump around your house like monkeys? How many of you are going to get into trouble if you behave like that? I'm going to get into a lot of trouble if I start behaving like monkeys. No? You're so kind. You're so kind. That's so sweet. but you see what I'm saying here? That even though you're like monkeys, you're not exactly a monkey. Correct? Correct? Similarly, there are so many plants, but Tulasi is special. Tulasi is different. You know why? Do you see any other animal playing mridangas and kartals and chanting Hare Krishna? You have seen it? That's a special privilege humans have, correct? Humans have the special privilege to serve and be aware of it. Humans have evolved. Okay, listen to this one. Two important words, two big words. You ready for this? Evolved consciousness. Can you repeat it with me once? You know what that means? That when you feel like behaving like a monkey, you actually can stop yourself and start behaving like a human. Wow. How many of that, did that blow your mind? Okay. So in this, you know, in this, yes, you have a question.
I've seen an animal, like Simba or Krishna,
like a parrot? Yeah. They're mimicking though, yes. You saw a cat go like this? Oh, your cat? That's so sweet. You know why cats meow? Did you know that? Cats meow because they are trying to mimic children and they are looking for attention. Did you know that? Yeah, they go like meow because children cry like that. And cats think that they can attract human attention by doing that. Somebody had his hand up or her hand up? Okay. Any other questions? Yes, you want to ask something? No? Okay. Any questions for me so far? Any questions? Do you understand why humans are animals but are different and special? Okay, now do you understand why Tulsi is a plant, but Tulsi is different and special? This is what this verse is trying to tell you. Okay, I'll say one last thing. You ready for this? Ready for this? In this world, you have no idea how lucky you are to be going to the school that you're going to. Did you know that? I'll tell you why. I went to a school that was not like yours. Aribol. You know, in most schools, they teach you how to make a living, how to earn money, how to get a career. They don't necessarily teach you how to live. Did you know that? They don't teach you how to live. They teach you how to make a living. How to make a living leaves you with a sad problem. Do you remember? Sad problem? Can I hear one sad problem? You know what sad problem is? S stands for stress. How many of you feel stressed? Sometime? During exam time? You know, A stands for anxiety. How many of you felt anxiety? And D stands for depression. How many of you felt, SAD, you're going to remember this, a sad problem? Now tell me one thing. When you have nice gulab jamun for prasad, and you have a nice kirtan, do you feel sad? So you have the solution for the sad problem, others don't. That is the difference. That is what makes this school special. And do you know what the word kunta means, kunta? Kunta means sad, suffering. You know what Vaikuntha means? Vaikuntha means without suffering. Vai means without, Kuntha means suffering. So if you experience a state of mind, a state of consciousness that has no suffering, you are in Vaikuntha. Okay? I'll pause here. Anybody has any questions, you can ask me anything you want. This is the last chance you have in this school year. After the school closes and I leave and you leave. So, ask me your questions. Something that's burning. Go for it. Is there a question going on in the back, the murmur? Sure. Anything you want to ask? And that's okay. I can still hear it. Okay. Anybody has any questions, comments, thoughts, wants to say anything? Don't be shy. Yes.
I saw this on the internet one time. These people were teaching
Can we pass the microphone? Is there an extra microphone? Because I think there are online listeners too. There are people online listening. They can't hear without a microphone.
Thank you. Yeah, they went to a school, I think with some missionaries in Africa, and they put some fruits. They know the kids love fruits and, you know, they look forward to things like that. So they said whoever can reach the basket first can take all the fruit home to their family. And your friends will not be able to have any. So what do you think the kids did?
I have no idea.
They all held hands together.
And they ran.
And they ran to the basket.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So they
would all, you do that?
So they all could share it. I thought it was really sweet. I want to share it with the kids.
You know, my friends are looking at their friends around them and saying, no. Thank you. That's a very wonderful story. Any questions, thoughts? Yes, Prabhu. I think Krishna has two qualities. He is bhavagrahi. Bhavagrahi means he takes your feelings. And even if you don't have any feelings, he is saragrahi. Krishna takes the essence of whatever you're offering. So Putana, for example, didn't have positive feelings for Krishna, but she had some feelings. Krishna took that. So if Krishna takes the feelings, and when you don't have feelings, Krishna takes whatever you have to offer. So if you don't have Tulasi, you know, I know that in one ISKCON temple in the early days, somebody grew a plant. They thought it was a Tulasi plant. They kept worshipping it every morning, and then Prabhupada came and said, oh, this is not Tulasi. But you know, they felt it was Tulasi. It was very sincere, so I'm pretty sure Krishna accepted the service. And as far as all of these plants are concerned, all of these flowers, I know some of those flowers because I grew up with some of them. But Parijata, for example, is said to be a heavenly flower that Satyabhama, one of Krishna's wives, said, you know, you have to bring it. And it was only available in Arjuna's garden, in Indra's garden. And Krishna had to fight Indra to bring the flower, right? So, but, you know, it's a flower from heavens. And you still have it. And they say that there's a story behind how it got. But many of these flowers don't grow in the West. And, you know, when I came to America, I saw magnolias and avocados for the first time, right? And these fruits and flowers don't grow in India. But we are humans. We appreciate good flora and fauna wherever we find them. And so whatever is good and beautiful can be used in Krishna's service. Thank you. Bye, Haribo. It is just because it is not there in. I'm going to say something which might sound controversial to some people. Let me give you a disclaimer. Just because something is not found in Indian culture does not mean it's not there in the spiritual world. You know, the spiritual world is infinite. It has infinite variety. So it cannot exist in the material world unless some prototype is there in the spiritual world. You know, so this everything that we find in this world ultimately is a warped reflection. Prabhupada calls it perverted reflection. But a warped reflection of what's there in the spiritual world. If it didn't exist there, it couldn't exist here. And so, like in Jagannath Puri temple, they don't cook with potatoes or chilies, or tomatoes, or cauliflowers, or eggplants. Because these vegetables came after they fixed their menu. You know, potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, they came with Europeans, came to India. So for people, especially onion and garlic, imagine a culture that has grown up without onion and garlic and somebody suddenly comes from a foreign country and the whole neighborhood is smelling.
you don't do that. And therefore, Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas that at least don't eat those vegetables before going up on the altar. Your mouth smells. They're pungent, right? But you know what's wrong with eggplants and potatoes? But you know there are people who are orthodox. These things don't come from Indian culture, therefore they won't have it. But do you think if you offer eggplants and cauliflowers to Krishna, Krishna will not accept it because it is not Indian vegetable? No. And when devotees started offering cakes and pizzas to Krishna, it drove so many people nuts. How can Krishna have pizza? My friend, why can't Krishna have pizza? Krishna can eat the whole universe. Krishna can eat anything he wants. Why not pizza? Why not cake? So a lot of it comes from prejudice against other cultures. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this in the beginning half of Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, that when we grow up, we are habituated to some things that become very dear to us, and we think that this is perfect. And when we come across something that doesn't match our taste of perfection, then we begin to develop prejudice towards it. All we have to really consider is this sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? If it is tamasic, if it is rotten, pungent, like Krishna explains, then tamasic. But if it is sattvic, if it is plant-based, cooked nicely, offered nicely, it is not making you hallucinate after you eat. You know, there are some foods like that also. You have a little prasad and then, you know, in India they call it Shiva's prasad. Right? They have it during Shivaratri. So, as long as those things are not happening, you're good to go. Yes, you wanted to say something? I know. But you know, in Jagannath Puri, if you go to the temple, you know, and it's actually very nice because who else has preserved recipes from 800 to 1200 years back? Who else have done it? So I take it this way, that Krishna likes eating different things at different places. In Puri, he eats what he likes. You go to Tirupati, the laddus are really big. How many of you have had Tirupati laddu? It's like a love bomb. Have you ever tried it? Just take one. You won't be able to eat for the next 2 days. Next 10 days. Try it. You know, somebody should start making and selling Tirupati laddus at this temple. You will become rich. But they are so big, so heavy. Lord Balaji likes eating that. You know, so Krishna likes eating different things at different places. Devotees cook accordingly. See, at the end of the day, Krishna inspires us in the form of Paramatma. Right? And there is a story, this is not in the original Ramayana, this is in a later Ramayana, that when Ram was going through the forest, there was a lady called Shabari who was collecting wild fruits. And before offering to Lord Ram, she was tasting it to make sure the fruits are okay. Right? Even that is fine in devotional service. Right? Thank you, Hare Krishna, Hari Bo. Any final questions? Yes. In camphor. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one song that his eternal service is to, you know, spread and, you know, can manage camphor for Krishna. Korpura Sheva. Huh? He says that in his eternal spiritual form, his name is Kamala Manjari. And he is eternally 12 and a half years. And his complexion is like lightning. And the dress is dark, studded with stars. And his eternal service is to serve the divine couple and all of their associates with camphor in the spiritual world. So what do they do with camphor? Because they are meeting in the forest. They make flower beds. They have beautiful prasad. So when you put camphor, you protect the flowers and the fruits, and you create a very nice, fragrant ambience. So the fragrance of certain flowers, like mallika, jasmine, the flowers mentioned here in this verse, with tulasi, with camphor and sandalwood, creates a divine kind of an ambience. I have never met Srila Prabhupada, but I hear from, you know, I consider myself a servant of the servants. So I've heard that whenever Srila Prabhupada went, he was fragrant. He smelt of sandalwood oil and rose. Correct? Somebody even had an essay or a book like that on rose. Govindadasi had a book called Roses and Sandalwood. Sandalwood and roses. See, Prabhupada spent like that. He wasn't using Old Spice, all these hard perfumes. He was using something, you know, and that creates, in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada used to burn frankincense. And everybody thought it was burnt to drive away mosquitoes. And Prabhupada said, no, this creates a very transcendental atmosphere. So, a part of devotional service, it is not a main part, but an important part of devotional service, is to be able to create divine ambience. What is a temple except a divine ambience? The rest of the world doesn't look this decorated. You know, we create a divine ambience. And particularly deities, you know, Krishna is an actor. Like today we have film actors. Krishna was a theater actor, drama actor. He was very popular for his acting also, acting and dancing. And so one of the ways we worship Krishna is actually to participate in his drama. Because when we get stuck in our worldly drama, you know, drama. Too much drama, right? In the world, too much drama. But is it much more pleasurable and interesting to get involved in Krishna's drama? This is the path of Krishna consciousness explained by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says that, you know, we are stuck in our routine, we are stuck in our drama. If we are able to get into Krishna's routine, Krishna's drama, then, you know, we are in the spiritual world.
Now, you know, with the internet, you can see things all over the world. And you see fruit that I never saw before. They said, sometimes they say 10 of the weirdest or most beautiful fruit. They don't even look like a fruit. They look like, you know, some bird or something. And the same thing with the flowers. They have flowers that look like, you know, animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if they all exist, because people are expert now in mixing things. Like they mix a peach and a plum and they get nectarine, or if I have it right. And they mix all these things. So I'm curious, these things existed in the spiritual world, or these people are just creating?
At least a template exists in the spiritual world. Krishna, I'll answer this with a different example. You know, Krishna likes speaking in riddles. You know that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes Krishna talks in riddles. So Krishna gave Arjuna a riddle in the middle of Bhagavad Gita. You know what that riddle is?
Why?
Tell me a tree whose roots are upwards and branches are downwards. Hmm. Have you heard of this one?
Yes.
Urdhva Mula Adha Shakha. Huh? Ashwattham Sthanur Avvayam. Chandamse Yashya Parnani. Huh? That these leaves are... So have you ever seen a tree whose roots are up and the branches are down? Have you? Anybody seen? Only when it is reflected. So that is the answer to the riddle. Right? So the reflection of the tree is never going to look like the tree. The reflection of the tree is going to look more like the ripples on the water than the tree itself. Similarly, things that we see in the world are like reflection on the ripples of material energy than the original that we have in the spiritual world. We are actually experiencing this planet right now upside down. Think about it. Your eyes, look around the room. Look around you. Your eyes are actually experiencing this room upside down. Your brain is straightening that image and you think you're walking on the floor. People are going to say science. But you know, it's more philosophy. Think about it. We are actually in the upside down. Everything is upside down right here. Just like a shadow. We just don't feel it. We think it's normal because we are habituated to the view and the movement of this world. Right now, as you sit in this temple room, this room feels steady, correct? It's moving at about 1,000 miles a second. You don't feel it. You're actually moving at that speed right now. It's like you're inside a car. But you don't feel it. And inside the car, you're actually seeing things upside down. But you don't feel it. That is Maya. Maya is illusion created so beautifully that you won't even feel it is illusion. That is the nature of illusion. Illusion always looks real. Right? And so everything we see in this world is real in its temporary nature. Therefore, it is not illusion, but illusory. There is a difference. Illusion means it doesn't exist, it's not real. Illusory means it looks real, but it is not what it looks. Right? Like a mirage. And so all the trees that you see, you know, people are mutating genes and, you know, now you have a grape and an apple together, grapple. You can do that, you can modify things, but there is an original grape and an original apple before you could make it a grapple. Similarly, everything we see in this world is there in its original form in the spiritual world. And we are seeing warped reflections or refractions. But the human experience or any experience of life is designed by Prakriti, by nature, in such a way that you think this is it. If you did not think like that, you wouldn't be able to grow in this life. If in this life we remembered who parents from our past lives are, can you imagine the havoc it would create? It would first of all break the hearts of parents of this life. Now they're in competition. Right? You won't be able to fully, you know, stay in your identity. You will have mixed identity. Am I that person from that time or am I this person from this time? Therefore, reincarnation happens in such a way Mother Nature makes you forget. Otherwise, you won't be able to absorb yourself in this material world. Right? When this forgetfulness is taken away and remembrance comes back, that remembrance in its purity is Krishna consciousness. Every living being remembers something. Only when we are confronted or we are faced with something that we have never seen before, we ask, what is it? Like, if I have never seen this flower before, imagine looking at this flower like a one-year-old infant. Like, white. Wow, should I eat it? You know, they don't know what to do, so that's why they put everything in their mouth first. But if you tell them when they grow up that there was a time, my friend, you did not eat with your mouth, you ate with your belly button. Will they believe you? No. Till they get to a certain stage when they are mature enough to know that actually I was inside a nice luxurious spa for 9 months, floating around, I didn't have to breathe, I didn't have to eat, the food was automatically coming into my stomach. For a long time after you're born, you don't know that. And then, by nature's arrangement, every human being asks a very simple question. Where do babies come from? We've all asked that question, right? And eventually that question, when it matures, leads to the question, who am I?
Why am I here? Why am I suffering? It is at that point one begins to go from looking at the world outside us to the world inside us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this as bohirmukh. Bohirmukh means outward facing, and antarmukh means inward facing. The day we start living our life facing inwards is the day our spiritual life starts. That is the day we stop taking the world very seriously. We realize that we are seeing everything upside down. We realize that, you know, just look around you. You realize that we are actually seeing everything upside down. But we have to function in this position for some time. We are doing our time. And while we are doing our time, if we behave, you know, we will be able to exit with the best conscience. And that's what matters. Right? None of us are going to be here forever. In 50, 100 years' time, this room will be occupied by people who we have not even seen. There will be things happening in history that we have not even imagined. How many of you imagined artificial intelligence taking over your phones, taking over your, you know, transportation? How many of us imagined? In 1990s, how many of us imagined there will be something called the internet, where you just click a button and you are able to talk to somebody on the other side of the planet? We never imagined. So we can't even imagine what's coming up. Right? But in this world, these kind of things will keep mutating and progressing. Because remember, spiritual world is dynamic, therefore material world is also dynamic. But in the spiritual world, that dynamism, that growth, leads to more and more prema. In this world, that same amount of dynamism leads to more and more exploitation. Whether you call it capitalism, socialism, whatever ism you name it. At the root, right now there is a war that started between India and Pakistan. Did you notice that? There is a war going on between India and Pakistan. India bombed Pakistan yesterday. Because 22nd of April, there were Pakistani terrorists who came into India and they started shooting at random tourists in Kashmir. They asked them, are you Hindu or Muslim? If they said Hindu, they got shot. It just happened. But think about it. These are people with shared genes, shared histories. The Indus Valley civilization, which is one of the most ancient civilizations on the planet, right? Some of it is in India, but most of the sites are in Pakistan. And I have Pakistani friends who tell me that they don't even teach that in their textbooks. They say that civilization began with the invasions of Mahmud of Ghaznavi. So when you have a world where it is so easy to spread misinformation, what do you expect? Integrity, satya, cleanliness, saucha, effort, honest effort, enterprise, austerity, tapa, and most of all, compassion, daya, are the four pillars of dharma, is the foundation of the spiritual world. Whenever these things are lacking, we experience the material world. And that's where humans don't see others as humans. Because whether a soldier dies on the Pakistani side or the Indian side, that soldier is somebody's brother, somebody's son, who had nothing to do with the terrorists. Right? And only when we do not have that spiritual vision, it is very easy to start thinking of other entities, whether they're animals or humans, as beings without sentience, that means consciousness, feelings, etc. And then cruelty becomes a very normal thing. Very normal thing. Therefore, in the military, in many military training, they teach army men to be cruel to animals. You cannot be cruel to humans unless you start with cruelty to animals. And our Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, emphasizes this point again and again and again. If you don't start with compassion towards plants and animals, you cannot be compassionate towards humans. And Srimad Bhagavatam begins, the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam begins, we must understand the present need of human society. We are no longer bound by these narrow geographical worlds. We have made a tremendous amount of progress. in the areas of material education, sense gratification, economic development. But even then, there is large-scale squabbles and people willing to destroy each other at the slightest provocation. And there is a need for a cultural presentation that offers a clue as to how we can have a solution to this. And Srimad Bhagavatam is that cultural presentation. It really shows us how to be human, if nothing else. Right? But it shows us that, you know, in this world, you're already living in the upside down. What are you fighting about? So many kings have come and gone. Right? What exactly is at stake here? Only when you start thinking on those terms, then you are able to live in an enlightened way and uplift others around you. And this is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry, I got emotional about it. Huh? I do sometimes. I was there last month.
Where was this?
The United Nations.
United Nations.
I somehow by Krishna's arrangement, the Permanent Mission of India invites me to represent them at the United Nations. And so I go there, I see what's happening. I also feel that, you know, United Nations is a wonderful space, but it is very isolated from the real problems of the world. And it's a nice, you know, like a fuse. When things heat up too much, a fuse blows to cut the circuit. So United Nations is a little bit like that, because what has happened is, since the Second World War, the world has moved on. But that organization has not moved on. But the principle behind the United Nations is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, where Vyasdev says that once this planet was overburdened by rogues dressed up as kings, who are armed to the teeth, ready to engage in war and violence at the slightest provocation. This is how this is the background of Krishna's appearance. Don't you think that context applies even today? So, not much has changed. Yes?
I had a question about Jagannath.
Jagannath Puri, okay, switching gears, Jagannath Puri. You want to take the microphone, Prabhu?
Well, it might get me in trouble.
That's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. It's all terrible. I think you're seasoned now.
As long as they don't shoot their missiles at me, I'm okay.
No, that's fine.
So Jagannath Puri, like you were saying, how Parijata flowers, according to the tradition, comes from the heavenly planets, right? So that doesn't come from India.
It's in Dwarka Lila of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Right, right. I'm not challenging that. But since they don't come from India, are they allowed to offer Parijata flowers to Jagannath Puri as part of their puja?
Yes, because it predates all the invasions.
The what?
It predates all the invasions.
Oh, but it comes from Indra. Yes. Indra's gardens. Yeah, but Indra's not Indian, man.
I know. No, but Indra is Indian in a sense. Indra is Aryan.
He's a
projector. I'm going to add a little controversy to what you said. I'm going to add a little more controversy to what you said.
He's adding more controversy to what you said.
That Brahma, Indra, they are Arya. Aryan.
Yeah. But they're
so
not.
Aryan means noble.
Sure, but they're not from India.
Bhaktisiddhanta says that Brahmavarta is, you know, first of all, India is what the Greeks call the land on the other side of the Indus River.
They don't come from there.
India, there is a difference between Bharat and India.
Yeah.
Bharat means a land that is dedicated to the cultivation of spiritual wisdom. Bhaskara means enlightened. Bhaskara jnana means enlightened knowledge. The land that is engaged in enlightened knowledge is Bharata. Bharata also comes from two historical figures. One is the son of Lord Rishabhdev. In the fifth canto, it is mentioned that Rishabhdev's son is called Bharata, therefore Bharata. And the other is the son of Shakuntala and Dushyanta. That is also Bharata. So the word Bharata comes from there. It means a land that bears the burden. Because the moment you have enlightened knowledge, you are now burdened to share it with others. So that is the essence of Bharata.
Huh? So the problem with potatoes then is they're not Aryan?
You know, if you consider Indo-European Aryans, then potatoes are Aryan, I think.
Yeah, all right. As long as those potatoes are okay.
You won that battle, thank you.
All right, I'm good. I'm good. Potatoes are great.
Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I know you're immersed in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teachings. In one of his songs, he puts himself in our position and he says, envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear. So today's verse, yesterday's verse, they're on the point of how in Vaikuntha there is no envy. Mm. I personally experience in my own life, envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear. And how this is after trying to practice Krishna consciousness for such a long time. How can we become free from these horrible tendencies?
I have two answers to that from my personal realization. One is I'll never be free from those. But if I am conscious of those, Krishna will take care of me. You know, one time I asked a question, why do we have to chant 16 or 64 rounds or any of that? Mahaprabhu says, I don't accept food from anyone who doesn't chant at least 1 lakh names a day. 1 lakh names is 64 rounds. I don't think any of us chant 64 rounds. Right? But somebody, I asked it to a Vaishnava and he said, you know, the point is not about 64 rounds. The point is to try and fail. If you have tried and you have failed, Krishna likes that humility more than I have accomplished 64 rounds. Right? So if we are conscious of our anarthas and that brings us humility, that is what is most pleasing to Krishna. The song you are referring to, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amaro jivano sada paperato nahiko punnero lesh porere udbego diyechi jekato diyechi je jibe klesh. My life, amar jivan, Shada Papirato is incessantly engaged in sin. There is not even a trace of piety. Amar jivon shada papirato nahiko puno pore. And all I have done in my life is I have disturbed others. And I have made other people suffer. Ashesho kamona ridi majemor. My heart has endless desires. Krodhi dambha parayon. You know, I am, you know, very angry and I am full of egotism. Madamatta sada. I am always intoxicated also with that egotism. Vishaya mohito. And I am enchanted by all of the glitter and glamour of the world. Nana garbe, vishaya mohito, nana garbe vibhushan. So, now here is the second answer. First of all, we must be, I don't think we can ever get rid of this in our material form. But being conscious of it makes us humble and therefore that is what is most pleasing to Krishna and Guru. But here is the second way of looking at that song. We should never think that our Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has all of those negative qualities. Even, I'll tell you how to look at the same song. How to look at that same song. Because if we have surrendered to our Acharya, we must realize that they are being very humble, but they are also speaking the truth in a transcendental sense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is in the spiritual world, his mood is that of a manjari. Correct? And you know what manjaris do. In the middle of the night, you know, when Krishna starts playing his flute, the whole village starts thinking that now, who is making this music at the time when it's, you know, we have to go to bed, right? So some people are disturbed hearing Krishna's flute. It's time to sleep, who is, and they don't know, they can't go out in the dark. And this flute song is coming from the forest and they don't know who the heck it is. And there are others, They're tossing and turning in their bed. They can't stay at home. They have to run because they know it's Krishna's playing. So now imagine if a young girl had to run away from home to meet this rascal playing flute in the middle of the night at the forest. Would she feel, my life is full of sin, I am toast. I am in so much trouble. My life is full of sin. I have no single, you know, no trace of piety in my life. I have only given trouble to my family. Right? So when we read that song in Bhakti, you know, coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lips, we should think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing that song like he's running away from everything else to meet Krishna. But that applies to, the rest of it applies to us. Thank you. Okay, we are past. I don't know if potatoes came from Indraloka. You're joking, I understand. That is our wonderful Sakya Rasa, but we will stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. The big question is, you may fight potatoes, but will you have packaged potato chips? Okay. We will stop there. Hare Krishna.